Good morning and welcome to the Weldon Green podcast. Today I'm going to bring you a new episode of the Ask Weldon Show. You can check the show out live every day, 6:30 p.m. at twitch.tv/mindgamesweldon. And remember that everything in the Mind Games brand is supported by the Mac program, mindgames.gg/MAC. And you guys should use the code podcast as you're listening to the audio version of the show rather than the code that I share during the video. All right, let's hop into it. Good morning and welcome to the Ask Weldon Show episode 229. It has been a few days, ladies and gentlemen. I was gone to a conference and then I was on vacation for a week and then I was on a work trip for a week. And on that work trip, I was never able to set up the streaming tech to the point where I could actually stream. So here we are 2.5 weeks later with our next YouTube video. But it was a good break. It was a good vacation. I kind of needed it. Streaming really consistently, I think, since January, pretty much every day. And so it was good to have a vacation. I got to ride on a boat. The ferries that go around the Baltic, we took a ferry from Helsinki to Tallinn, Tallinn to Stockholm, and those ferries are pretty amazing. It's kind of like more like a mini cruise. You know, you have a cabin and you have... there's just a bunch of activities. You know, there's a playroom, there's a buffet, there's dinner, there's casinos, there's bars, there's shopping. It's pretty crazy. There's live bands. So anyway, that was a really nice trip. The boat ride itself is kind of like part of the trip. And then when you get there, you actually get to be in that city and do something. So checked out Stockholm for the first time ever. Sweden is, as usual, very fun, very different from Finland culturally. I think that if you were over in North America and you were looking at Sweden and Finland, you'd say maybe you just kind of see similar cultures. But when you're here, they're so vastly different. It's crazy. Remember always that Sweden, Norway, Denmark, those are the Scandinavian countries. Finland is not Scandinavian. It is Nordic, but it's a different ethnic group. So the four Nordic countries, three of them are Scandinavian and one of them is Finland. That's why it's so different. All right, but we have a good show for you today. And I'm getting back into my schedule. It's Monday. We're kicking off the stream. The YouTube video is going to go up as scheduled. And I'm going to go to the gym. I'm literally back right into my schedule. Feels so good to kick it off on a Monday like this. Really squared away and everything is just clean. So, why don't we go ahead and jump into the show? Get it on. That didn't come out right. Whatever. You know what I mean. All right. First question today is from Quentin. Has to do with inspiring others to think for themselves.
Hello, Weldon. My name is Quentin, and I have a question concerning leadership and inspiration. I quite frequently find myself in a position where others are looking up to me in a sense that I do not necessarily want. I would rather have them thinking for themselves instead of blindly trying to rely on what somebody else is giving to them. But I can't seem to find a way to tell them this. And so I was wondering whether you might have any tips, especially for teams or groups, on how to inspire others to think for themselves.
All right. Quentin, this is a very big challenge that is kind of first of mind or foremost of mind for teachers and coaches, right? Because the whole goal of teaching and coaching is essentially to get people to do critical thinking. That is, to think for themselves, to generate ideas and criticism and self-reflection on their own merit. And the real challenge here is that in order to get them to do that, you have to have them do that. In the first place, you can't hand feed them or spoon feed them information or learning or advice. So this is a challenge that I've had in esport teams that I've coached, for example, where I have to let them make mistakes in order to let them kind of think freely. Like as a mentor, you want to guide people and give them the most success. But at the same time, you have to know this is literally what you have to do to help people to think for themselves. Because you say inspire others to think for themselves, but the question is, how do you give people the momentum that they need to think for themselves? And that is, of course, by thinking for themselves. So what you do is You literally have to know the answer, know that they're coming up on the like crux of the decision, let them flounder through it and screw up, make the mistake, fall flat on their face, all while you're sitting there with the answer, and then get back up and they're thinking for themselves, and you like help them through the reflective process and help them realize that they thought for themselves and kind of give them that momentum. So the answer is 100%, or not 100%, but 100% you have to stop, you know, helping them. But mostly what you have to do is you have to like, you have to find some sort of mix of you still guiding them and then giving them tasks, you know, in a linear way that is progressive, that doesn't overwhelm them, that they are constantly doing themselves until you can just kind of let them fly. And that is, I think, what you would call pedagogy or learning design, where you essentially are trying to craft like the path for this person to creative thinking that is unleashed. And the way that you do it is you unconstrict them in a very sequential manner that has kind of like, you want to mix two things, right? You want to mix safety and learning and imparting your knowledge with their ability to increase their velocity in terms of making their own decisions. So that's a art, and it's a challenge. And I would say start by erring on the side of just letting them do more, because then if they start to flounder and stuff, you can always kind of step in and help out. So good question. And most of what you need to do is change yourself, not them. Good luck. All right, second question. This is going to be a fast day. Great. And this question actually is two-parter, so I'm going to answer both parts separately, but we'll hear the question together, I think. Maybe I'll pause in the middle. Anyway, let's see.
Hey, Weldon. I have one question about discerning careers and another about the logistics of streaming as a career.
Okay.
So I've just graduated with a computer engineering degree, but I feel that the projects and deadlines in this field are too draining and end up derailing my life more than I'd like. My lack of side projects also sets me behind others who passionately push themselves to grow in the field. I want to enter a field where I can push myself to adapt and grow, and where I won't dread the inevitable grind. And that drew me to the entrepreneurial nature of streaming. I'd love to hear your thoughts on discerning career choices and looking for sustainable work. My second question...
Okay, so let's answer the first question now. So discerning streaming as a career choice and the entrepreneurial nature of streaming. So the nice thing about streaming is that it is... it's booming right now, and it is only just starting. So when you look at, for example, esport athletes, when they just started, it was just them, right? It was just like a dude. And we look at YouTube channels when they first started, it was just a guy, right? Now you can work on YouTube, and you can work in esport without actually being the content creator, without being the artist, right? You can be a producer, you can be a videographer, you can be a sound engineer, you can be a script writer, you can be a... you know, a set designer, you can do music for YouTube videos, whether it's for the vlogging or for sound engineering for a show. There's all sorts of things you do. And in esports, same thing. It's becoming a commercial, entertainment industry. The same is going to happen with streaming, right? We have like 10 big channels right now. And streaming, of course, the issue is that like the live channels suck in everybody else, like a vacuum. But Amazon is trying to solve that. In the same way that YouTube is trying to solve the fact that, you know, a couple channels get all the views, they're trying to like make sure that the algorithm is more discerning in terms of like who it's targeting which content to who. And so I believe that, you know, streaming is going to fracture out a lot more, and people are going to watch a lot more variety of smaller channels, and then you're going to have essentially the business of streaming is going to grow and the industry of streaming is going to grow. So as far as career choice goes, you need all of the same things to produce media and content as you do in any sort of entertainment industry or current, you know, new media medium, which means you need, well, you know, all the things I just listed. I'm not going to do it again. So I think it's a fine career choice, because as you go into it, you notice you have all this entrepreneurial aspect. So you have to figure out the business structure and the accounting and the tax laws and the side along project products and how it is that you report to brands and how it is that you do your conversions and all this entrepreneurial stuff. And then, of course, you have the actual artistic side and the technical side that you all that you can learn literally anything that you want in that whole envelope and come away with those skills, which you can use both in the streaming world and in another job if you have to like quit that and go off and work somewhere. So I think it's a fine way to dabble and spend your time, because if you don't make it, you'll still make it, if you get my drift. I don't know if there's anything else I want to say on that other than streaming works a lot better than YouTube, because I'm making like the same amount of money per month as I do on YouTube, and I do millions of minutes watched every month on YouTube, and I do, and I have like 20 concurrent viewers every day on Twitch for like an hour. So yeah, Twitch with the subscription business model is way more doable. Of course, it's not enough. Okay, let me point out that's not enough to live by or even close, right? But I'm just pointing out that it's equivalent amount of money, which is absurd because Twitch is doing this viewer supported model, whereas YouTube wanted all the money for themselves, so they basically just sell ads and then give you the pennies. You know, you get a lot more of the pie on Twitch right now. YouTube is now, because they have competition, forced to do the same thing to keep up. So now they have the subscription button, so maybe that will work as well. But anyway, streaming is a big yes, because you get to build community, and it's much more monetizable than creating disposable VOD-produced media, like on YouTube. Okay, let's go on to the second part of your question.
Question is regarding approaches to building a brand and growing a community. My aim is to be a mix of a coach and educational / entertainment player. To build credibility, I'm offering free coaching on Summoner School and aiming to climb from D3 to Masters. On the off-stream side of things, I've been imitating educational channels like yours and LS's by setting up a Discord, uploading YouTube VODs, etc. How can I continue to expand my network of both viewers and streamers? And how do I build my brand in general? Thanks. How can I continue to expand my network of both viewers and streamers? And how do I build my brand in general?
Okay. So kind of a three-parter there. So expand network of streamers, expand awareness of viewers. Let's say not say network of viewers, and then build brand in general. So first of all, expanding your network of streamers, that's a really good way to look at it. I think the viewers will kind of come as you expand your network of streamers. So what that means is finding people who you align with very well. And doing partner projects, sharing audience. So essentially like collaborating on a piece, or doing, you know, a joint coaching session, or creating a piece of content, educational content together, or doing like a joint live stream for 8 hours or something like that, whatever it may be. Expand your network of streamers by streaming with people and by finding people that you can stream with for a while, you know, that you kind of get along with, that you have an in-sync idea with. And that helps to kind of build your audience too, because you get to share it around. The fastest way to build audience is actually to borrow it and loan it from other people, is to kind of like spread your audience around among other people and to borrow viewers from them. The only other way to do it, of course, is advertised. Is like paid advertising or cracking the algorithm. So you can either do it the algorithmic approach, or you can just straight up pay for viewers. And then however many you can make stick around are the ones that you get to convert per dollar. Don't recommend that at the start, but once you have a really good product, then it might be worthwhile. Okay, then the second part, the viewer thing, that's basically what I already said. Don't really worry about viewers, because there's really only three ways to get them. Way number one is you crack the algorithm. So that's a changing tactics game that I don't like to play, and that you can play if you have a big staff and you want to tackle it consistently every day. But I wouldn't worry about it if you're a small streamer. The second way is to pay. And I wouldn't worry about that either, because if your product is really, really good, then it will kind of show a little bit in terms of success, and then you can start paying for audience. But until then, probably not worth it. And then the third way is through collabs, is through sharing audience. And so that probably is the thing that you want to do, because you get double bang for your buck with the whole like networking thing, plus increasing the size of your audience. Okay, how to build your brand in general. I think the most important things are to find one kind of set of media and schedule that works. So something that you can do without thinking, because you want to be able to automate that process so that you can do the other stuff. And if you're spending all day long trying to do the production of something, then you can't kind of add on capabilities to your brand. So one of the most important things is to, for example, I discovered this Q&A show works, and I worked on automating it for years until I finally got it to where I can just like spit it out, right? So now that really works. So now I can add the next thing. Great. So now I'm working on automating that and getting that process and learning how to, you know, reach out to people and collab and get people as guests and stuff like that. But at least I have my core product churning and spinning without thinking, and it's just going, right? So working on your process for your creation process or whatever, so that you can kind of like produce very high quality, regular content of your niche or speciality, allows you to not think about that, so you can build on it. Okay. And then the other thing is to find a single communication channel that works. Okay, I wouldn't recommend diasporaing out into all the communication channels, because the most important thing when you have 20 viewers is that you talk to those 20 viewers. And so it has to be a communication channel where they can always reach you and feel like there's a dialogue. So for example, if you start a Discord server, don't also do a Slack and do a Twitter and do an Instagram and do a Snapchat and then respond to all those. Like, you can of course create all those things and you can publish stuff out on them, but don't have like open DMs and don't try to reply to comments and don't try to network on them and stuff like that. I would just focus on the one communication channel that you choose, because every single one of those social networks is like independent. They all have their own different style. So, you know, if you're on Twitter, you want to talk to a Twitter audience. If you're on Snapchat, you want to talk to a Snapchat audience. And so it's not like those places kind of share audience back and forth. People who use Snapchat every single day all the time and watch all the Snapchat stories don't necessarily do Instagram stories, and vice versa. So you're kind of like hitting two different audiences, right? So find the one that works. For in this case, you want to build on Discord. Okay, that makes a lot of sense. So just do Discord. Like, have it as the only app on your phone screen. You know, have it as the only one that has notifications on. Have it as the one that you go into every morning and say, good morning, and make your posts, you know, and find a way to like post in Discord in a way that is interesting and entertaining for your server, and kind of works like a social media network for your server, and just do that in a way. That's what I would say. Yeah, so think of your brand as being built on silos. So you have a single silo of like a single type of content you're trying to perfect and automate and get good at, and you can iterate on it. Of course, it's not going to be the same. It's not going to look the same at the end of this journey as at the beginning. And you have a single silo of communication in which you're trying to build your audience and your communication with them. And that will narrow your focus down to working on the kind of the tactics and the religion and the techniques and the and the ideas and the stuff that you want to do, like with those two specific things, without making you do tons of extra laborious work to try to learn 50 different systems. So you can just perfect those two. And I think you learn a lot more by perfecting those two than you ever do by trying to do everything under the sun. Okay, and then the third axis of your brand is, of course, the business side. So you have the communication with the audience, the production of your product, and then the business side, which is squaring away, maybe instead of doing it as a like a freelance employee, maybe you should set up a business just so that you know how to set up a business, you know, and run it as a business, and then do reporting. So download like Google Data Studio, and figure out how to do, you know, YouTube reporting off of that, and how to mix in like a Twitch report with that, and yeah, figure out how to make a single 5-slide deck every single month that shows your reports for the last month of the numbers that advertisers really want to see. And then you have like a brand deck every single month that you put out somewhere that advertisers can see, and you share it to brands. And then if you have specific brand relationships, then of course you need to share their numbers with them specifically. That's it. That's how you build your brand. Nothing else really matters. I don't think branding matters that much. Your brand, when you're an individual personal brand, your brand is just what you do every day. So just be you and whatever you want to do every day, do that, and that is your brand. And after 5 years, you can look back and you can be like, okay, I guess my brand deserves this kind of label, and you give it a label, but don't worry about it till then. Yeah, nothing much else to add. Thanks for the questions, Fee and Quentin, and that's it for the show today. Short, sweet, to the point, and we're back into the game. Make sure to check out the Ask Weldon Show every single day, 6:30 p.m. 6:30 p.m. LA time or 7:30 p.m. LA time. One of the two. Whatever it is, it's 4:30 a.m. Helsinki. So just look whatever time it is in Helsinki, 4:30 a.m. Helsinki, that's when the show starts. Come join me. Make sure to check out the training program that I have, mindgames.gg/MAC, soon to be an app. We're about 4 weeks out, maybe, from it being an app as well. So check it out before it gets appified. See you guys tomorrow. That's the show for you today. I hope that you guys enjoyed it. Remember, you can check out the show live at twitch.tv/mindgamesweldon every day, 6:30 p.m. And you can join the pre and post show chat where I answer questions from the audience in depth. We can kind of dig into them deeper because you're there to respond. And make sure that if you check out the Mac program, mindgames.gg/MAC, that you guys use the code podcast. Thanks for listening, and I'll talk to you tomorrow.